Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Center Room. Episode 103 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 7:18 p.m. The date, May 2nd, 2018. I will be one of your hosts for this evening's journey into esports. My name is Tim. Hello, hello. Alongside me, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, bud. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Just hanging out, you know?
I'm missing our fellow brethren.
Yes, Brett will not be with us this evening. He's handling things in real-life situation.
R.I.P. R.I.P., baby.
You know, I hate to see the lack of commitment, but I understand. It happens to us all. But we're here. And you're here. The listener. And that's really the most important person. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. You'll find all of our Discord information there. Join that. Hit us up. Say hello. We're always in there. Come say hi. But we do have possibly the best episode ever for you. We have a little bit of e-news to get to in the end. It was kind of a slow week for esports, so we'll touch on a few things, though, that we feel are noteworthy. We're also going to talk about sportsmanship in esports. Where does it stand? And yes, we will talk about the teabagging incident in Overwatch League. Must talk about news. According to some. And that's what we're here for. But to start the show, let's start with Old Faithful, Anuj, shall we? Let's get into some CSGO. Last week, okay, so let me inform the listener on what's going on. So last week, we informed them that we were going to do EU ESL preview this week, and then NA ESL preview next week, and then that will kind of lead everyone right up to the playoffs here in Dallas. Change of plans. We're just going to do a full-on ESL playoff preview next week, and we'll worry about everything then. Kind of just made that executive decision earlier today as a group. So today, though, there is still very important Counter-Strike news to get to. We talked a little bit about it last week. That is the IEM Masters Series in Sydney, Australia.
I can't believe my bracket's 100%.
I bet they are.
It's insane.
You're just a god, you know, a god amongst men picking out Counter-Strike brackets.
Easy.
So going into this, right, last week I think we said some of the major storylines would be if really the top eight teams lost to any team, right? Because you have Cloud9, you have FaZe, Fnatic, Mouse Sports, SK, Astralis, G2, NRG, I think you would consider in those the
Renegades
top eight.
Is decent, you
Renegades,
know.
Yeah, you know, I'd almost think I'd say
better, better than a lot of the other teams. That
yes,
are in this tournament,
right.
I should say.
Right. So I would say that's probably like your nine, right? That if you're really going to keep an eye on, if anything, if there were to be an upset, one of those, I guess you could say, is an upset if they lost, let alone be eliminated already. The talk of the town last week was SK. You know, we even said it. You know, someone on the show, remind me, Anuj, who said if SK loses, you know, I was already worried. And if, that was me. That's right. I said it.
I am the story.
I said it. I said last week, SK was already on shaky grounds. You were like, no, man, don't worry about it. It just takes time. It just takes time to be good at Counter-Strike.
I still think that's an accurate statement, though. That it's going to just take them a little bit of time. Now, they lost to teams they shouldn't have lost to, but then you watch some of these underdogs that we'll get into perform in the other rounds, and it's like, oh geez, they're upsetting a lot of people. It's not just one upset in this tournament, and that's kind of been the exciting thing about this tournament, is there's been so many underdogs pull through.
Yeah, maybe it's the time zone, maybe it's the water over there, maybe these oceanic teams are
field advantage, maybe.
Yeah, like maybe we're finally seeing a home field advantage in esports, and I almost have to believe it, right? I mean, look at these upsets. You mentioned it. First off, Tyloo, always kind of pokes their head into an event, probably two or three times a year. Defeated SK in overtime, 19-16. Okay, and then everyone was laughing at SK, saying how bad they were. Then Tyloo ended up going 2-0 against Cloud9, sending both of them into the lower brackets. Following those teams to the lower brackets, Cloud9 ended up beating Order 2-1. So, I mean, that wasn't even like a clean sweep, you know? In fact, it went into double overtime in Game 3 on Inferno for Cloud9 to even...
It took an unreal clutch by Rush to save that game.
Was it 4v1, right?
A 4v1 clutch. He was like basically holding banana, you know, bomb was planted on site, and he was obviously T-side at that point. And I pulled out an incredible play with an op, you know, of all weapons to be able to do that. It was pretty incredible. I mean, he saved them right there. So, I mean, again, that what they're showing is it took a miracle play pretty much there, or a really, really big play for them to even pull through.
Yeah, it was no slouch.
Yeah, for sure.
And then following SK into the lower bracket, they were playing Greyhound. I'm not even going to lie to you, Anuj. I've never heard of Greyhound Gaming in my life.
Okay, so I knew one person on Greyhound, and that's the only reason I knew who they were, and it's because of Gratis Faction, which, by the way, I still think is one of the best names in CS. Like, I really, really love it.
I don't know. Dick Stacy is a...
That's what I was going to say.
Pretty awesome name.
He just got topped in this tournament by Dick Stacy, because this Dick Stacy and Gratis Faction have been like the two carries and have played played really well up until they got eliminated. But
Dick
those
Stacy.
Boys came to play, man. Like,
what an awesome
Dick
name.
Stacy and Gratis Faction. It was just great.
So they ended up defeating SK in the round one of losers. So SK is done. They are out of IEM Sydney just as fast as they went in. Greyhound defeating them 2-1. So do you want to just kind of focus on Greyhound, or do you want to focus on SK right now? I mean, I feel like we should. Because last week we did hint like, hey, this might be the tournament. I mean, I was ready to sound the alarm last week. But then I gave them some benefit of the doubt. I said, okay, give them this tournament, but this would be it. Like, if you're
jumping off the bridge on this one.
Yes,
right now,
this one is where if you are an SK fan, if this roster plays the next tournament, I'd be really like confused if I was an SK fan, because
you think they'd drop somebody right now?
Do I think they will? No. Would I be surprised? No. Does that make sense? Can I say no on both of them? You know, I had this discussion with someone earlier in the week of who it would be. I think it would be Bolts by default, just because you just added Stewie, right? So you don't want to automatically count him out. It's, you know, you don't ever want to just quit on someone that fast. So Bolts might just be the one to draw the short straw. But then you look at the results from this tournament.
Bolts was one of the best players in this tournament for him.
Against Greyhound, Bolts was the best player. He had the best rating on the team there. But then against Tyloo, he was the worst. He was the only one who posted up a negative KD. He was the only one below a 1.0 rating on HLTV. So it's difficult when you're looking at it from like a team aspect with SK of like, who do you blame in this?
Overall in this tournament, he had a 1.12 rating. So he did okay like as a whole. He had the worst, you know, amount of opening kills, but again, I don't know exactly how they use them. Like, I don't get that detailed with it, so maybe there's more reasoning behind it. But yeah, I mean, Fallen was their worst player technically in the tournament. He had under a 1 rating of 0.93, the only one of them to come in like that. But these guys just as a whole didn't look good. I mean, all the games they played in were close. You know, the Tyloo one went into overtime, and the other three were all like 16, 13, 16, 11 type finishes. But to Greyhound, you know, and so that's what makes it hurt even more is it's the competition you're going up against. Again, Greyhound looked decent in some of the other games, but they lost, you know, 2-1 to FaZe in the following round. So FaZe doesn't look good either, in my opinion, though. So I don't know. It's kind of weird in Counter-Strike right now. The only team that looks good was Astralis, which makes me feel like it's the beginning of 2017 again, where they were that one dominant looking team and everybody else was kind of fluttering at that point.
I feel like the only time Astralis is ever like viewed as maybe the top team in the world, which I think they still are with HLTV. Yeah. The only time, yeah, they are. They're currently ranked number one on HLTV's rankings. The only time that they're ever viewed as the number one or even like a top three is when all the other teams are struggling. Does it not seem that way? Like with Astralis, they're never at their best when other teams are at their best.
When they won their major, again, like I felt like they were considered the top team at that point, and really there's only SKA competing against them, you know, so they really just had to get by that one dominant team at that time. And even now, everybody looks like they're fluttering. And one thing I wanted to mention, we talked about this on previous episodes, so I got a little bit more clarification on it, because you mentioned Astralis number one in the rankings, right? And yeah. So on HLTV's rankings, the way they do it is they only really take the three big events, the previous three big events go into consideration for how the ranking should be, right? So prior to this tournament, the three events would be Marseille, Katowice, and Star Series. And this is from that Peter Milakovic, or however, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he runs HLTV. The only team to make the playoffs in each of those current lineup was Astralis. And so, and they got max points in the Marseille tournament as well. So that, it clarifies it a little bit more, because we were like, dude, what the hell? It just feels like whoever's like, won the last tournament.
These last events are the ones who get the first place.
A huge jump up. In Astralis' case, it was like a big jump that happened. Well, it's because only the last three tournaments are in consideration for that ranking.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense, and it makes even more sense when you consider there's like a tournament every week, right? So it can, I guess in reality, it can flip like that in 1 month.
Quick.
Yeah, especially like right now, look at the month that SK's had. You know,
I'm surprised they're even in the top 10 the way it's looking right now.
Yeah, let's see when they update them after this. When they update them after this week, because there's no way you put SK, by that matter, right, in the last three events, I think, in the top 10.
Yeah, and part of it is they're attending all the events, right? So other teams might not be getting points where a team like SK is in all these events. So
but they
may drop, but who would, like, jump them? You know, Gambit hasn't been in a recent tournament. Liquid hasn't been in, like, a, you know, big recent tournament. North, I mean, VP is below them, Space Soldier, so none of those guys would make a big enough jump to jump SK just because they're ahead quite a bit. But they're not going to move up at all, let's put it that way. They're going to hover from that 7-10 spot right now.
That's just really looking at Group A. I think you mentioned it, FaZe lost 2-1 against Renegades of all teams. That was another one that went into triple overtime on Inferno. So now you have the stationed Cloud9 versus FaZe. They play late into the night tonight, I believe, if we did our time conversion correctly. They play about
12:30 start time. So
that's central. So yeah, it's about 1:30 Eastern.
Which means game three will be on Inferno, and that'll start around 2:30 central. So that's how that's going to end.
I'll probably catch that. Well, you know, you got to assume tech delays. I might be able to catch the end there when I wake up at 6 a.m.
5:36. Yeah. Seems like these guys are always meeting up.
I was going to say, I think it was Tarek, might have been Rush, who tweeted out saying, like, well, it wouldn't be an event without, you know, Cloud9 versus FaZe.
Yeah. Look at the upper bracket. That looks like it should be the lower bracket.
I know, man. You know,
it's the same matchups we would have got, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it really is. Your bracket might be correct with these matchups. Renegades versus Ty Lue and then Cloud9 versus FaZe. It's just not the way you would have thought.
Not at all.
And in Group B was a little bit more what you would have thought. Really, I mean,
it's kind of exactly what you would have thought in Group B.
Yeah, there's right. Really not any surprises. It sucks that NRG had to play Astralis, though. I mean, they went into overtime. They took them to overtime. So that's still showing that NRG has made leaps and bounds with improvements, right?
Yeah, they're not out. They still have an opportunity tonight, you know. So
they beat Boot already. So
yep.
That's good. And then they're playing who? G2.
G2 tonight.
I think they stand every as good a chance to beat G2. G2, we said it last week, man. They don't scare me. I'm not going to give G2 the benefit of anything right now.
I'm taking NRG in this matchup, and I mean, I feel like it's not being that overzealous about it. Like, I mean, Daps is the number 3 player right now in the tournament. Cirque, who a million people wanted Cloud9 to sign Cirque when they thought Skadoodle was retiring. I mean, that was like a huge push to get him because he's young, he's an amazing offer, and he's shown it in this tournament. The dude has had some amazing, amazing plays. So cool for him to get to attend, you know, one of his first big lands. But I have all the faith in the world that NRG is going to beat G2. G2 just seems to be in shambles, and I don't know. I feel like there's more possibility of a change for them coming after this tournament if they lose to NRG than there is to SK coming anywhere in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, I would say NRG already is going to get quite a big a boost just for, like I said, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of how they rank, but I mean, just for being in this tournament with this type of caliber team, taking Astralis to overtime, having a convincing win against a team like Boot going 2-0. I think regardless of, and like I said, I think the NRG and G2 game will be close. I'm kind of agreeing with you where I think from recent play,
NRG
they
will
be
get
able
a
to
decent. Yeah, and NRG, you're right. We'll get a boost because they'll have this tournament and then they'll be attending ESL Dallas as well, right? So
yeah, yeah, and that's coming up in 2 weeks or so.
2 weeks or something, 2-3 weeks. So yeah, I mean, they'll get a boost because they'll be attending some big events in G2. I don't know, man. I could see Kenny leaving that team and going and joining Shox's team.
To make a third French team?
Yeah, because Shox has already announced that he's going to be playing with Existence and Smits will be on the team.
Okay.
And so
that's not a full French team, though. Existence?
So far. Yeah, Existence is French. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, okay. He's a French player. And so he'll be their IGL. Has groomed a lot of players and been in the scene.
Exist.
Oh, no, yeah, Existence, okay. LDLC, and a couple of teams. Yeah, French player, so I could see Kenny S joining them if this doesn't work out, because those guys, like, I mean, they've looked bad for a while, right? This doesn't seem like it's just recent play.
We talked about it last week, and we'll probably dive more a little bit into it next week with just the ESL recap, but...
And the new French shuffle for
the
fifth
French,
time.
Yeah, the other French shuffle. The French Counter-Strike scene is in shambles right now. And it's almost like both teams, Envious and G2, are the teams, you know, you think of when you think of French Counter-Strike. It's just like they kind of imploded on themselves for whatever reason. They just did not hold out the way that you would have expected.
None of them were true IGLs going on to that team. So that was Cloud9's problem for a long time, right? You have all this talent, and you can't put it together because you don't have that one true leader on the team. And I feel like that's what G2 is running into right now, is it went from Shox now to NBK. They've had, I think, you know, Apex has said no, but it's just kind of moving around in this circle. And I don't know. I don't think there's much of a solution without getting an in-game leader like Shox went and did by getting Existence. I think that's going to possibly, you know, if they pick up another player or two that's good, they'll have a chance to be the best French team, which is crazy considering Envious and G2 are the marquee names.
Yep. I'm just looking here. I went to the ESL Pro League's website just to see where G2 was standing on the EU side. And I think they still stand somewhat of a chance. According to their website, there's still a spot to be decided. I thought it was all finalized.
So next week when we go over it.
Yeah, we'll see there. Or, you know. It wouldn't be the first time an esports organization did not update their website properly. But, you know, we'll worry about that next week. We'll worry about it next week when we have to. So in Group B, you had Astralis taking out Mouse Sports. So now Mouse Sports is playing MVP. I don't think that will be an issue there for Mouse Sports. So in the upper bracket finals, you have Astralis and Fnatic playing. That should be a pretty big fight of the Titans right now, you would think. The way Astralis and Fnatic have been playing, it's kind of like that is, you know, a top three matchup there.
Yeah, and this resurgence by Fnatic has really been, I mean, it's been pretty incredible because I don't think anybody saw it coming. Everybody saw JW at the end of his career, Crims being washed up. I mean, these guys have put it together and been consistent. You know, there was that whole rumor of Golden being off the team, and then they kind of brought him back or whatever exactly happened with that odd situation. And then Flusha being the god Flusha that he's been for so long, it's just crazy to see these guys playing at the level that they're playing at. So this will be one of the more exciting matches, but I still see, you know, Astralis coming out and on top of this one. Astralis is just playing so well, it wouldn't surprise me if this ends up being a 2-0 finish there. But yeah, I think they'll both be good games.
So that's all happening tonight. Group B is really happening tonight. If you're having Cloud9 and FaZe play, and I don't believe, I guess Renegades and Tyloo are also playing at some point in the early mornings. They play in 5 hours. So,
yeah, because they got to do what? The next match is going to be G2 Mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll run through the whole next.
So it's a busy night.
Grouping, yeah. It's very busy
night. So we'll wake
busy
up.
Busy evening over there in Australia.
We will see what happens there. We'll probably recap it quickly next week or anything like that because it's shaping up to be. I mean, look, regardless, either Renegades or Tyloo is going to make it to the playoffs for this event, which is not something I would have said last week.
Rooting for Renegades here. That'd be nice to see them in there.
Yeah, they're the Detroit Renegades, so obviously I need to root for them. But well, it's hard to root against Tyloo, though, you know? Too.
Yeah, I'm only doing it from an Aussie standpoint. JKS, AZR, Nustello, all being Australian players.
Get
one of the home teams advancing. That would be nice.
Agreed. So we'll look at how that wraps up next week. We will also do a full-on preview for both EU and NA side of the ESL Pro League to get ready for the playoffs coming up May 18th through the 20th here in Dallas, which we will be attending. So if you are also going to the ESL Pro League, let us know. Love to say hi. What's up? See you there.
We will be getting a liner 100% from Dick Stacey at that event.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's no way.
You will play it every episode for sure.
Every episode.
So there.
And Daps, if you're listening, we'll see you too.
Yeah, maybe we'll back pay you for your liner that now that you're relevant. Anyways, let's get into. I want to get into sportsmanship talk with you, Anuj. All right? And let's get some music in here, shall we?
Michelle.
This happened last week in Overwatch League. Okay. And maybe people have heard of it, maybe not. But it's the teabag scene around the world, as I am putting it, where Carpe plays Philadelphia Fusion, killed Edo, who plays for Shanghai. Okay, they were both tracers, everything like that. And Carpe had the audacity to then go and teabag him. And I don't want to say this sparked a wildfire.
It sparked a wildfire, dude. It definitely sparked a wildfire.
Okay, did that spark the wildfire, or... I guess it did. So really, in short, and maybe people have heard about it now, because, you know, we our slogan here is never breaking news on the center ring. So Carpe teabagged him. This started this whole drama now where you have the one side of society, I'll put it, is very upset and how disgusting teabagging is and how it's not sportsmanship and, you know, there's no room for that in the Overwatch League or in gaming, and that's what needs to change. It does no good for the scene. And then you have the other side that's kind of like, it's like, you know, it's kind of been here the whole time. It's part of the game. It's fun. Get over it. The reason I was hesitant, though, Nooch, to say that that's what sparked it, right? this is the issue with the world that we live in, where it's a small world, Anuj, where everything is on the internet, everyone can talk to anyone, and, you know, maybe you see a couple things on Twitter, a couple things posted on these random blog websites or, you know, news websites that are known for spicy titles and articles saying that the society is collapsing, like Vice, right? Like, have you ever read it or heard of an article on Vice that's just talking about how good things are? No, everything has a corrupt society behind it.
There's some sort of disaster.
Yes, happening. There's some corrupt CEO behind every company. And there's websites that do that, right? There's definitely clickbait websites out there that's their agenda and whatever. So my thing is it really that, like, did it really spark that wide of an internet panic, or was it just a handful of people responding to a handful of people, and then that got retweeted, and then that one got retweeted, and then it turned into something way larger than what it really was, and it just, then you get, you know, people who aren't even familiar with gaming. Oh, what's teabagging? Oh, well, it's when, you know, a dude sticks his nutsack in a girl's mouth, and but then you do it in a game, and it's kind of like supposed to represent talking smack, and then they're like, oh my god.
Look, I'm a teabag champion, okay? I have no problem, obviously, whatsoever with teabagging in a game. And I think, you know, I'd hate to even quote Thorin, but I think he kind of said it best, is it's funny that we're complaining about teabagging in a game where we're using guns to kill people. Like, I 100% agree. That's, like, kind of going unnoticed here. No, I mean, this is...
I think I've even not said helping. That before. Like, it's weird what moral high ground we decide to fight on when, like, in Counter-Strike, it's literally the terrorists can win.
You're, like, so tunnel-visioned if you're only looking at it from this little, I don't know, bubble that some of these people live in. It didn't help that half the crowd booed, you know, when he teabagged them, but maybe that's them being, like, you know, cheering for their team and booing because it's like, you killed my player type thing.
Here's my
thing, because
I know some people even were like, oh, you shouldn't be booing, blah, 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 right? First off, everyone tries to make everything the biggest deal in the world, right? Like, did you see that they booed? Oh my God, let me write a three-paragraph article about this and post about it and look on Twitter. That's an issue in itself, right? I have no problem with them booing. I mean, Shanghai is a winless team. They're kind of now becoming like the beloved Detroit Lions of the Overwatch League, right? Where people just want to see them succeed because they're so bad. So if you want to boo for teabagging a winless team, I think there's no problem in that, right? I mean, just wait when Overwatch League starts to be playing in their home cities. You're going to have people get booed. That's just part of it. You know, T.O. running and standing on the star in Cowboy Stadium, right? He was booed. That's okay. For me, being booed is the crowd talking smack.
Yeah, it just, like, depends on what way you're looking at it, right? Like, if you're looking at it the way the outside media in this case is drawing this up to be, that they were booing because
it's unsportsmanlike.
It was like a disgrace.
But I don't think that's why they were booing. I think they were booing because it's just, like, you know, kind of cheeky. It's okay. Okay. We see.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. That would make Overwatch fans look pretty bad. They're already, like, you know, Overwatch is already kind of having to defend itself a lot to
all the time
other games, which is weird. I don't understand why that's the case, because even though, you know, I'm not like the biggest Overwatch fan, I have no problem with Overwatch being successful in esports. I think that'd be great for esports if they were. I feel like it's almost Overwatch versus every other esport.
I think there's multiple factors into why that is the case. From both sides.
Cosplay is a big deal.
Yeah, cosplay is huge. You know, the off-branded web porn websites, that's also a big player.
You know, I feel like we're just gamers calling gamers nerds is what it feels like.
That's exactly what it is, because it's like, I feel like people who are a fan of Counter-Strike and only Counter-Strike are jealous of Overwatch's success, right? And then people who are a fan of only Overwatch are very quick to get on their high horse and try to defend it and be like, no, this is, you don't understand, this is different, we're a different community. look, I've been hearing that for the last 2 years of Overwatch being out. I play a lot of Overwatch. I hate to break it to you, Overwatch community. You're the same community as the Counter-Strike community. You're the same as League of Legends. It doesn't matter. We all play video games. We all know what a teabag is. We all know what a GG easy no re is. It's like we've all been around the block. So you can't stick your nose up at one community and be like, how dare you disrespect them with the teabag? Like, what gaming community are you a part of where that's not a thing? Like,
yeah, I mean, I know, I agree. I mean, it's just weird that this is like a thing right now, and you kind of see it a lot with a lot of the big names, you know, like, again, going back to Thorne and Richard Lewis, they like hate on the game a lot, and it's just weird that they're stirring this up when I think it's beneficial to everybody in the industry if Overwatch does well, not for the fact that we need another esport to be big, but because there's so much invested.
Well, it's exactly, you know, like, showing other sponsors to be like, oh, all right, well, let me
get into this. When you start talking $25 million for a team and those numbers reportedly being higher for, you know, for next season, I mean, there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of people that are looking at this saying, hey, if this is successful, I'm willing to put my money behind it too. You know, there's a lot of people with a lot of money out there. So if this bombs and bombs hard, which I feel a lot of people are almost rooting for in a like backhanded compliment kind of way, I think it would be devastating for the esports industry in general. So I don't know, this whole thing just bothers me that it's become a us versus them type of scenario.
Yeah, I think that was well put. And even, and that's just like you said, that's just kind of Overwatch. That's the attitude of the community on both sides of it. It doesn't help that it seems like because the spotlight is always on Overwatch, every little thing that, like I said, I think people blow it out of proportion, right? It's very difficult to tell who's serious on Twitter. And then it's just like, you know, you get people on Twitter where it's like, oh, I'm an Overwatch League mom. And I think it's a little bit of unsportsmanship. Well, yeah, like, duh. Like, I don't know, like, what the hell is it supposed to be? I'm virtually sticking my balls in the dude's mouth. Like, I'm not doing it to give him a compliment. Like, yeah, lady, it's unsportsmanlike. That's the whole point behind it. I don't think,
yeah,
and I don't think
than
that's
NFL,
wrong.
Like if T.O. came and teabagged my player after he, like, got him on a crack pack block, that would be disrespectful. But in, like, gaming, it's, like, so common. It's, like, not a, I mean, it's,
I don't think
you see Counter-Strike all the time.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with unsportsmanship, though, in
it's the way
being
you taunt
competitive.
In esports. Like, it's the way you taunt in esports. You're not face-to-face with these guys. You can't sit there and talk shit to the other team because you don't have that same kind of interaction. You're only talking to your team on the comms. So the way to kind of trash talk is to do some of these things in games, like spamming an emote at them that you have in game, right? Or like going
spraying
up and teabagging
them.
Spraying them when they're dead on the ground. Like,
meleeing their dead
be.
Body. Anything,
but
dude.
It's just how you talk trash in esports. And so to take it beyond that is just people, like you mentioned, drawing up controversy. Why didn't anybody say this earlier in the year when Carpe did this to Effect against the Fuel? You know, he did this exact same thing earlier in the year. Didn't hear anybody complaining then. You know, so I just don't see what's changed. I think, like you said, it's almost a drawn-up controversy just for... Everyone likes to get behind something nowadays, right? And this is the flavor of the week.
And I know it even came up a couple... Maybe like a month ago where it was like a female who was demoing a game, like a competitive shooter. She died, and then a male counterpart teabagged her. And it was this huge ordeal of like, oh my god, he just sexually assaulted her, you know? How can this be? And it's just kind of like, bro, I don't, like, it's pretty easy. It's just, it's part of the fun. In fact, it's like, I probably teabag my friends more than anyone.
Yeah, like, I mean, I don't know.
It's weird. Like, and again, I always have to put this disclaimer anytime we talk about like some social event, right? Is that we are probably the last people to ask, hey, does this offend you? Because literally, I don't think anything offends any of us. At least not enough for us to, you know, really get up in arms about it. But I just think it's a silly argument where you have a crowd of people who are uneducated about the gaming scene and being competitive, and then you have the gaming hierarchy and their high towers, and they're getting on their high horses, and they want to sit there and fight and to say that they fought the good fight for the game. And I just always go back to it where it's like Overwatch doesn't need the Twitter community to fight its fights for them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really think this is only a big deal. Like, if you just would let the crazy soccer moms say that it's offensive to them, like, so be it. This has always been happening. It's like people have always been offended by certain gestures. I think it's just now with Twitter and how everyone has to respond to everything in today's world, now you just see it more.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to get your word out there, right, and be heard now. So maybe just give them their moment here. And
it's just every anytime this happens, it's like I always am linked to a blogging website I've never heard of, you know, and then you look and it's like they clearly have an agenda when every article is about sexism or gender equality or, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's okay. Like, this is just clearly your thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I got to say, I'm going to keep teabagging. I'm
going to teabag in honor of the teabagging. I'm going to do that every time now.
With my fist raised high.
After I shoot somebody down with a gun.
After I completely blow someone's brains out with a gun and plant a bomb and blow up an innocent building. That no one seems to care about that.
Poor bomb side A.
No one seems to care about that. Fun fact, do you know the story behind the level in King's Row in Overwatch? So you are delivering the payload, which is a giant bomb, okay, to the Omnic's headquarters, which are the robot people in Overwatch, to kill them all. That is the actual lore behind that map and that little scenario in the multiplayer. So,
dude, all lives matter here.
No one has an issue with mass genocide, but hey. And you know what's even worse is like this, Carpe was playing Tracer, who's a chick.
It's more of a sexual harassment.
It's like a bologna sandwich is kind of what it was more like. Just two bologna sandwiches just smacking each other. That's what it was closer to.
I'm hungry.
For bologna sandwiches?
Roast beef.
Okay. Okay. All right. I see you. Indian. Okay. I get that. I can respect that.
Lamb curry. Is that better?
Let's get in some e-news.
Let's.
Not a whole lot happened. Nameless officially retires from competitive Call of Duty. He got a taste of that casting life, and he does the CODcast now, which is a Call of Duty podcast.
You get more Call of Duty info here than you will there, so just stick with us.
Definitely. Actually, I've only heard it once, and it was just more so random rambling, so I turned it off. It might, you know, I'll give it another shot. But Nameless officially retired. It's kind of a big name retiring from Call of Duty. This weekend, actually starting tomorrow, and it's going on right now. You can watch like kind of them joking around and setting it up. Smash Summit 6 starts, easily one of the best events of the year. I always promote Summit events. If you're not used to them or don't know what it is, even if you don't watch Super Smash Brothers, you need to watch it just for the entertainment value alone. What it is that it's this mansion pretty much in California, and they invite all the pros over there and they host a weekend long tournament, and it's pretty much showing you know, it's an in and out interactive. They show games, they show them playing whatever charades at night. It's great.
It's one of my favorite events for, you know, even a lot of the other esports. So I think it's just one of the cooler events.
Yeah.
To see players in a different light, too, you know? Like, they're a lot more
casual.
It's
a very relaxed event.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't... I mean, yeah, I guess you want to win it as a player, but it's just kind of more fun. It just seems like they're all relaxed about it.
Probably all Blaze, because they're in Cali.
That's probably not entirely false. And in Fortnite... Anuj, you'll have to help me here. FaZe finalized their Fortnite roster.
Yeah, so teams are finalizing rosters. FaZe signed Tfue, I think is how you pronounce it. T-F-U-E, if you want to look him up. But yeah, they got their fourth for their squad. And then Envious has officially entered the Fortnite realm as well, with their first player signing in King Richard. For those of you that watch some Fortnite streams, you're probably very well aware of him. He's
Have they contacted you yet?
I reached out to Mike, let him know I'm open. He said he'll get back to me, so that's, you know, it's a good start.
Realistically, are these all just kind of more popular streamers that are getting signed?
No. Like, okay. King Richard is amazing. He wins, like, I've seen him win, like, 10 games in a row.
But is he also a popular streamer?
He is, but he's popular because he's badass. Like, okay. I mean, granted, his personality is cool, too. Like, a cool guy, it seems like, at least. But he is, like, in the ninja realm of good. You know, these guys just win. They're 20 kill a game kind of players. They are just very, very good at the game. Him, Myth, like, he's on the same level as a lot of these guys. So for them to at least get in, this is taking off. Now what's going to be interesting is, I don't know if it's a guarantee that Fortnite's going to do squads for competitive.
That's what I'm saying. All these teams are announcing their rosters, and everyone's like, Fortnite's coming in esports, let's go! And then it's kind of like, but has anything been announced?
Well, Ninja was even pushing after his event that he thought this would be better as a solos game, which I'm not totally off on. I think duos would be the way to go personally, but I think if they did duos, it could still work out. All these teams would just have two teams, I guess, competing, but... Yeah, I mean, it's cool that it's at least kind of coming together, and all the big names are now in, you know? So FaZe, Optic,
I mean,
TSM,
it's happening, right? You don't
NBA,
get this much traction.
It's going to happen.
Not happening, but whether it's Epic, the one running the show, or other...
happening one way or the other.
Yeah, I almost feel like nowadays, though, it's always going to be the...
organizers.
Not the organizers, the developers. It's always going to be the developers running the show, right? Like PUBG, that's PUBG running the show on theirs.
Although the first event wasn't like a PUBG event, right? Like the first one that they had with ESL was like ESL.
But I think you're always going to have the developers making their main league. You know, they're not going to be hands off like in years past, or even to a Valve level of hands off, which might
Fortnite would have to be. Epic would have to be involved just with the amount of changes they've made in the game from week to week. You know, they would kind of have to stabilize it a little bit to set some sort of competitive playing field. But yeah, you know, these guys are
week like they normally do.
Can I tell you one random fact? Not about Fortnite.
Please do.
I'm going to go back to COD for a second while we're in e-news. I found out there are 3 professional COD players that play inverted.
Who?
I will have to find the tweet. But they were talking about it today, and it blew my mind. Like, I really just couldn't believe it. And they said, like, the people started obviously asking, like, are you serious? Are you lying? He's like, no, all 3 of us do it. They're not on the same team, but 3 of them do it. And a lot of them said it's like when they started playing GoldenEye and all that, it was like base was inverted. You know, you had to change it to the other way around if you didn't want it, and they didn't even realize. So they got used to playing games that way, and... never changed it, and they're pro with inverted.
Huh. That blows my mind.
Blows my mind. Yeah.
That's crazy.
The more you know.
Well, that's a fun fact from Anuj there. Thanks, man.
You're welcome. That's what I bring to the show.
Well, that just about does it for e-news. Meaning? That just about does it for the show. I want to thank you all for listening. This is the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast.
would also like to thank insert sponsor here.
Brought to you by nobody.
Insert sponsor here.
Episode 103 is in the books. I appreciate you all listening. If you listen to the whole thing, you're crazy. I love you. And if you skipped around, I love you all the same. Remember, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Retweet the show, like the show, be a part of the community and its growth so that you can be there when it all started.
Instagram's been active today, just so y'all know.
Oh, has it really?
If you follow us, it has.
There you go.
The_center_ring.
Now you can see all that on our website as well, tcr.gg. Check out all the old episodes. Everything there. We will be back next week for a full-on ESL playoff preview, both Europe and North American. But for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.